This is the Good Neighbor Podcast, the place where local businesses and neighbors come together. Here's your host, Sean Preston.
Welcome to today's episode of the Good Neighbor Podcast. Today we have a good neighbor on with us. His name is Brock Peel from Canadian Sanitation. What's going on, brother?
Hey, how's it going, Sean? Thanks for having me on.
No worries. Happy to have you on board. You take care of an important thing for most people, and we are excited to learn about it. So why don't we dive in and let's bring our listeners up to speed and tell us a little bit about your business.
Yeah, I'm Brock, co-owner of Canadian Sanitation. We're a septic pumping, installation, repair, inspection service. Basically, anytime once you flush the toilet and it leaves the house, we're there to take care of it. Whether it's pumping, repairs, installation, everything around a septic system, that's our business.
So, like I said, it's an important thing for most people because, you know, there got to be a select few people who want to take care of that sort of thing. And so let's dive in. Let's maybe unpack it a little bit more. I mean, at the surface level, it's, you know, it might not be the most appetizing thing. I told somebody or had sat down with somebody once, he did insulation. And I'm like, oh, tell me about your business, man. And he's like, it's nothing sexy. It's insulation, right? And so I would imagine there's some component to it. However, the importance of having that, I think, is crucial. We've, you know, in the past with our family, definitely had issues. And if something goes awry with your septic system and you don't have the right guys to come in and fix that, that can cause a lot of problems for people.
Yeah, exactly. That's the way we look at it. Fairly essential service. Hopefully somewhat recession proof. Again, anything slows down with the slowdown of new construction. But at the end of the day, if you're having an issue with your septic system, it's generally an emergency. If you're having any sort of issue with it, it needs to be taken care of right away. So you know, that's kind of the service that we provide. That's what we base our business off of, is trying to be the quickest response and the most efficient response really to any of our clients that need us.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I never really knew this until it kind of happened. My parents live out in Midhurst and they have a septic in the backyard, and we were bringing those little mini kind of backhoes there. What do you call those? The excavator guys?
Like a mini X?
Yeah, the mini X's. So we bringing two of them in because my parents at the time needed to move over. They had a, kind of like a she shed, and half of it was an old sauna. And so they wanted to put like a whole fireplace there, but I didn't know the importance. If we didn't take the precaution to make sure we knew where the septic bed was and that mini X went over that, that could have caused like a major issue for us.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a big problem. You'd be surprised the amount of people that we talk to that don't even know that they have a septic system. They'll be in the middle of nowhere, and for some reason they think that they're on municipal services. Generally, you find that out pretty quick when you, flush the wrong thing down the drain and your septic starts backing up. You figure that out pretty fast, that's for sure. But sometimes, like you say, if it's driving heavy equipment or a truck or anything on it, you may find that out the hard way.
Right. You find it's like in your line of work, it's, you know, people kind of generally have a good solid understanding of what it is, or you find that sometimes not a lot of people know, like you just mentioned, sometimes people don't even know that they have one.
No, I would say probably 60 to 70% of homeowners that we deal with don't have any sort of grasp on how a septic system works. Most contractors or builders that we work for, they have a pretty good understanding of how it works and the basics of it. But, you know, we have, like I just got off the phone an hour before this podcast explaining to somebody that their septic tank is supposed to be full. They said, you know, we've been getting our tank pumped every month, because every time we open the lids, it's full. So we keep calling, and I'm, you know, and I just kind of laugh. And I said, well, I don't know who your pumping guy is, but he's not really doing you much of a service by telling you that, hey, it doesn't need to be pumped again. But, I guess he still just kept showing up. So your septic tank is supposed to be full. And it goes out to your leaching bed area. If you have a holding tank and it doesn't have a leaching bed, then of course, that's a problem once that's full.
So what's a leaching bed, just in case if somebody didn't know what that is?
Sorry, I got a bit of a cough here, Sean, so if you hear me clearing my throat or drinking some water. But yeah, so your leaching bed, that's your actual pipes. That's your actual pipes that are in the ground, that are perforated, that the effluent goes from your tank into those pipes, through your stone area and then down into your contact area, in whether it's filter sand or native material, depending on the age of the system. And that's what's actually being slowly released into the ground and gets filtered, gets filtered through the actual soil. And that's what does your treatment, right? So where a holding tank is generally, you know, a lot of three season cottages, places with setback restrictions that you can't get a septic system in, they'll be on the holding tank. And that's something that has to be pumped out regularly, because once the sewage goes in there, it doesn't go anywhere else and it just fills up. But the actual, an actual class four septic system, the effluent goes into a leaching field on your actual lawn. And that's where all your pipes are, your tile bed, whatever you want to call it.
On option one, just because I'm not the most familiar, I'm familiar with the actual tank. And that aspect, do you ever have to, for solids and stuff, you'd have to still pump that? Or is it just like you're kind of good to go and it just kind of filters out the way it needs to?
Yeah, so how it works, your standard system is going to be a twin chamber tank. So it's going to come from your house into the primary chamber. That's where all your solids go. And it's a pretty rudimentary design, and it's not too complicated. But how it works is that your solids stay in that side by kind of sitting on top of the liquid level, or sometimes they'll sink to the bottom. And then the, you know, some people will call it gray water. It's certainly not gray water. It's just your effluent that's now separated from the solids. It moves over to the second part of the tank, which, you know, there shouldn't be many solids that transfer over there. And then it kind of has some time to break down into that secondary chamber. And then once that level in that secondary chamber is high enough, then that's when it goes out of your tank and into your leaching bed. And any new system today will have what's called an effluent filter on the outside. So it's just like a big cartridge filter that if there's any solids that did happen to get through, it's going to catch those solids before it gets to your leaching bed, because you don't want those solids getting into your leaching bed. And the reason you get it pumped every 3 to 5 years is not because your tank is full. It's because that those solids start to build up and they form what's called a sludge layer. So when you're pumping your tank, you're not actually pumping it because the liquid level's high. You're actually pumping it because those solids have now separated from the liquids. And over time, it builds almost like a crust layer that can't really be broken down and can start to cause problems and clog your inlet baffle or make its way over to your secondary part of the tank and eventually clog your leaching bed. And that's why you want to have it pumped out regularly before it causes problems like that.
Thank you very much for that. I pride myself on trying to extract information that I feel is valid, that people need to know about. And you went on a tear there, and that was phenomenal.
There you go. Should give you the baseline there and give you a bit of an understanding. So
don't ask me to repeat that, though. I'll be shit at it. Pun intended.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm curious to know, how do people get into their jobs? What's their journey like? You know, people have passion in what they do. As a business owner, you got to be passionate in what you do. So how did you land in this? What was your story before and your journey to get to where you are today?
I started out as a diesel mechanic. I was a heavy equipment mechanic, worked for Tormach Caterpillar. So I kind of got into, I got into doing, renovations and stuff like that. Doing a little bit of real estate investing on the side for myself, eventually started my own, contracting company. And then, from that contracting company, got into doing some excavation work. And then, you know, from that excavation work, got into, you know, kind of got a little bit of a introduction into septic systems. ended up had an interest and said, you know, I'll get my septic license. I kind of like this a little bit, and maybe I'll try it out. A good friend of mine was already in the industry pumping, and he was doing some septic systems. So, you know, he kind of helped me along a little bit there. And yeah, I got into that and realized, hey, you know what? I don't mind this. I actually like it. So again, it's like you spoke of the guy doing insulation. It's, you know, it's not really a sector that maybe everybody wants to be in, but we didn't mind it. So we found it, you know, a good industry. So long story short is, him and I decided to start our own septic company together that could expand on the installation side with my experience in the contracting and my experience in the larger excavation. And we started a company that does, pumping, repairs, installs, and everything top to bottom for a septic system.
Yeah. Okay. So you guys are full service when it comes to this kind of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Beautiful. Beautiful. What a cool story. You know, sometimes your life leads you on a path where you don't really know where you're kind of going, or you never thought you'd end up there, but happy to see that, that you like what you're doing. I'm sure there's probably different levels to your responsibilities as a business owner and what you get to do when you're working in the business and on the business. But when it comes to your business, what's one thing that you're the most passionate about or that you enjoy doing on a day-to-day basis?
The thing that I enjoy doing the most is trying to be the absolute best and trying to be an industry leader, really. You know, staying the most up to date with the current septic systems, the current laws, offering the best solutions for our clients. You know, we don't have we're not really stuck in our ways, especially being a newer company. We want to be looking at all different types of septic systems. There's, you know, I know it sounds very basic, but surprisingly, there's probably 12 to 15 different types of systems that you can put in. So I pride myself in my understanding of all these septic systems and being really proficient at it and understanding all these systems and how they work. And I enjoy doing the design process of it. I love nothing more than when somebody has a questionable property that they've had many other installers or designers go out to that just can't seem to fit a septic in there. And can't seem to find one that'll work with it there, especially within their budget. So I pride myself on being the one that can go out there, take a look at the site and give them an answer almost right away on what I can fit in there, because I know all my calculations for the most part off the top of my head. And I have a pretty good understanding of so many different kinds of systems. So for me, that's what I take the most pride in, is the design and the planning part of the septics and understanding all the different technologies in it.
Very cool, man. Very cool. Didn't know that there's that many different types of septic beds that you can get out there and all that stuff. That's pretty interesting. So are there any any myths or misconceptions when it comes to your line of work you hear from customers, that type of thing?
There's a couple. I mean, one would be, like I already touched on, that your septic tank is supposed to be full. That's probably a conversation that we have relatively often. And my dispatcher who takes our calls and schedules the pump truck, I think she has that conversation at least every second day, explaining to somebody that just because there's fluid in your tank doesn't mean that it's backing up. The other one would be, when you install a new septic system, you should throw a dead raccoon in it. That's probably one of the biggest ones. That's a funny one.
Throw a dead raccoon in there.
Yeah. I'm not joking. We have that conversation with people. People generally ask us that. And it's for the most part, usually older people. When we install a new system, they say, well, you know, what should we do with it to promote the bacteria growth? You know, back in the day, they used to say that you should throw a dead animal or a dead raccoon in there. So we usually have a good laugh over that, but that's probably one of the number one right there.
Wow. Okay. So yeah, you never think of this. So yeah, hucking in a carcass that's decomposing, it's got bacteria. I guess you're going to have to explain this to me, but there needs to be a type of bacteria growth or decomposition that needs to be happening in there. For what are the reasons behind that?
Yeah, so your septic system operates on bacteria. Bacteria is what you want. That's what's actually going to break down those solids, break down your toilet paper, break down all those things that go into your tank. So without any bacteria growth, like without that bacteria growth, that's where you're not going to get those. You'll get your solids breaking down from that. Sorry, I just had somebody come in my office here.
All
So,
good.
yeah, that's where if you don't have that bacteria, then it's actually not going to break down. But when you're consistently using a septic system on a daily basis, you're always constantly giving it fresh bacteria daily. So that's gonna keep that bacteria alive and keep it breaking down. That's an issue with cottage properties and three season cottages, and that's why we actually see a lot of cottages, their septics fail prematurely, or they have issues with solids on the secondary side of the tank, is because they'll be there for a weekend. There'll be 12, 15 people there. They'll just pound the septic system with a ton of volume, and then they leave for the week. So all that bacteria has gone in the tank. They leave for a week, and that bacteria can't stay alive for generally longer than 12 to 24 hours. So then it goes dormant, and all that toilet paper and everything that's gone in there is now just sitting there with no fresh bacteria to kind of feed that. So that's why you need the bacteria in your system to actually break it down. Fortunately, for some cottage properties, there is like bacteria generator pucks that you can flush down your toilet, say if you're leaving for a little bit or you're going to be gone for a week, or if you're putting in a new system. Generally, we don't tell our clients to do it. If we're putting in a new system and you're going to be using it regularly, you're going to get that bacteria growth pretty fast. So we're not really too worried about it. But sometimes with some cottage properties, it is beneficial to throw like a bacteria generator in there to kind of promote that growth and keep it breaking down for, say, longer than that 12-hour period, right?
Well, we definitely know that you know your shit. That was awesome. Really cool. Okay, so when you're not out there helping people, putting in septics in the places where other people have said no, and using the math and your creative ingenuity, your product knowledge on all of this stuff, and you're outside of work, what do you like to do for fun, man?
I got two kids now, so that keeps me pretty
Oh,
busy.
okay. Cool.
I got a 2-year-old boy and a 10-month-old son. Sorry, 10-month-old daughter. And yeah, so that keeps me pretty busy. My main hobby would be dirt biking. I ride bikes with my buddies. I used to race for quite a few years, but now I've 50 pounds lighter and a few more years on me. I'm not exactly into the racing scene anymore. Yeah, another passion is flying. I'm actually got my in-flight test this Thursday to get my get finish off getting my pilot's license. So I spend a lot of my spare time trying to get in some hours and do as much flying as possible.
Nice. What do you like about flying so much?
I don't know. It's what isn't there like about it, right? It's just something that I've wanted to do my entire life. I wanted to be a commercial pilot when I was younger. I just couldn't spare the cost to go to school and see it through. So I always said that once I got myself to a point where I could afford to pay for it myself, I would just get my license and do it for fun.
Really cool. Really cool. If I was going to be a superhero, I definitely would need to fly 100%.
Yeah.
Can you describe us? You know, this happens from time to time. We go through life, we can't control what direction it wants to point us in. And sometimes it points us into more of a challenging area of life where we have to battle through that and have some adversity. Have you ever gone through a life challenge or a hardship in your life that you had to overcome? And maybe because you were able to rise above that, it made you better, made you stronger for it?
I feel that every new venture I've done has always come with some unforeseen challenges. I think that's anything that you do. I mean, from investing in real estate at a young age, that really put me into some tight spots and kind of tested my definitely tested my will. Being racing when I was younger, now with this business, I think a common thing with business owners, and something, maybe a challenge that that I've definitely had in the past, and with this business as well, would be having, you know, having work lined up and having jobs that are lined up and jobs that you think that you have and you're booking jobs and things seem to be, you know, things seem to be looking great and you have all these things that are going to be happening and you're, you know, very excited about it and you maybe possibly make some investments in some equipment to complete these jobs. And then the rug gets pulled out from under your feet. You got, you know, last year from the start of the season, we bought a large machine because we had some pretty substantial jobs that were lined up that were, you know, that we booked. We'd taken some small deposits on that we were supposed to be doing, and they were all go. And about a week before we were supposed to start these, there were a couple systems that were side by side that were pretty substantial in size. And those got pulled out from underneath of us, and we didn't get those jobs. And we had had this large machinery payment that we took on, and now we had this massive gap in our schedule that we weren't really prepared for, and it happened last minute. So I think that really gave us a new outlook, and kind of gave us a new perspective on, you know, on business and projects in general.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, these are the things that are outside of our control that we can't handle. But, you know, being a tenacious and going through adversity, we learn as human beings, we grow from that. And, you know, that's what it's all about, be able to run our businesses more efficiently. And hopefully you guys made that through on the other side, and hopefully made you guys better for it.
Yeah, no, I think it definitely did, for sure, Sean.
Awesome stuff. Is there anything that you wish our listeners knew about your business?
I'd say the biggest thing about our business that I want the listeners to know is that, you know, we really do care. I guess everyone may tell you that, but genuinely, we do care. We're in this industry for the long haul. We're trying to be leaders in the industry. We're not perfect in any way, and we got a lot of processes that we can improve, but we really do care about our clients, and we do really care about just offering the best service. You know, pumping and repairs and emergency service does not pay. It doesn't pay. There's not a lot of money in it. The return on investment is very low. But really, we're doing it as a service to our clients because we want to be industry leaders, because we want to offer that service. We want to make sure that, you know, when they're in a tough spot, we're there. When they need a new system, or, you know, anybody they know needs a new system, we're there as well. So we want to be the ones that are known to, you know, if you think of your septic system, you think of Canadian Sanitation, and that's our goal. And actually, I'm proud to say that today we just received our plaque in the mail that we were the UWA Small Business of the Year for 2023-2024. So UWA is the Ontario On-Site Wastewater Association for all of Ontario.
Phenomenal. Congratulations for that award. I'm sure a lot of hard work behind the scenes went into that one. So congratulations.
Yes, thanks, Sean.
And if anybody's interested, would like to get in contact with you, would like to learn more about your business, what's the best way that they can reach you guys?
They can, if they're looking for new requests, pumping, anything like that, they can find us at www.canadiansanitationinc.ca. You can call that line. We pick it up 24 hours a day. There's a contact request for anything else in there that you need, whether it's a new system, replacement, inspection. And you can also follow us on Instagram at canadian.sanitation. I manage the social media account myself, and I try to upload things daily and kind of give everyone an inside look at what we're doing and our day-to-day jobs and some of our day-to-day failures too. So it's it's good widespread there.
Yeah, very cool. Well, hey, awesome conversation. I certainly learned a lot. I know our listeners will have also learned a lot. Great guy. You've got a great product. And thank you very much for doing this.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Sean. Appreciate it.
No worries. Anytime.
Thank you for listening to the Good Neighbor Podcast, Midhurst. To nominate your favorite local businesses to be featured on the show, go to gnpmidhurst.com. That's gnpmidhurst.com. Or call 705-413-3775.